Dude, I don't remember shit about this year.
Is that abnormal for you?
Save it for the pod.
All right. Y'all boys ready?
Ottawa Spawn ready.
Here we go.
Oh boy.
Song's so nice, he played it twice.
About to be. He kicked the rust off.
Yeah, you know that old saying, kick the rust off.
That's right.
That is right.
Is that not the saying, Nooch? I'm not familiar with that. So
I believe
rarely
that rust
kicking,
is,
the, kicking the rust off.
Generally, I believe the rust is knocked off. I don't know that it's specifically kicked.
Oh, that's my personal technique. Well, here we are, the Nice Price Podcast, back again, motherfuckers.
hello.
Hello.
I know Nathan liked that earlier. Wanted to throw one in there.
The only thing I'm remembering all of a sudden is I think my whole goal for 2021, maybe even 2020, I don't even recall, was for me to get a soundboard, and yet here I am.
Damn, in the
sands
damn dark.
Board.
Well, you look like you're in a law.
Not even any light.
Sort.
I'm in the office at Nice Price Books HQ. Thank you very much.
Well, it looks very fancy.
It is.
You throw some old sort of brown burgundy books on a shelf. It looks classy all of a sudden. Oh, what we got here?
Ain't been too long.
Is that the true?
These are the true songs of the year. Fuck this list.
Hey, best song of the year every year, you feel me?
It's 5 o'clock everywhere.
Everywhere.
Hey, Newt, how's it going?
What the?
Miller Lite.
Miller Lite.
It's fine and dandy, Kev. I mean, it's 5 o'clock everywhere. Oh, yeah, that is what you always say.
Sure does.
Hell yeah, there's that song you love.
There's a
song of the year every year.
Beat you to it, man.
One of my better compositions, I'd say. Lyrically.
What'd you do on that one again?
Lyrics,
got it.
I wrote all the lyrics, and I came up with, I guess you could say, the concept of
every single lyric
of playing a song that already existed.
Of that basically a cover song.
Hey, you know that song that's already there? Okay, so take that. So I came up with that part, and then I wrote, yeah, it would mean every lyric. There's like 8 words.
You know, I'd love to throw more shade, but that would also be throwing shade at such greats as Weird Al Yankovic, so I don't know if I can actually talk that much shit here.
Extremely Weird Al.
Well, to be fair, he doesn't claim to have written every, anyway, not going to get into
that's
that.
True.
Doesn't matter who.
He didn't write Pour Me Something Tall and Strong is all I'm saying.
I mean, you don't. Who's to say I didn't? I wrote it.
I'll say it right now.
Bold claim. My pen
to start off this year.
My point is if they hadn't written it, I would have. So it's really the same.
I believe that.
Bold claims.
Also, my point, what I really meant was that the parts that weren't from already the song that exists, I wrote those parts.
I know. Welcome to 2022.
Here we are.
And we're going to... In true Nice Price Pod fashion, running a little late, so we thought we'd do a year in list. What?
Honest question: when's the last time we did an episode? I do not know.
When's the last time we did one, or when's the last time we put one out? Because those are two different answers.
That is true. This is true. We've got a ghost episode in the can.
That might be after this one.
I think we should have the guest, who I'll leave unnamed just in case. We should have them back on, and we'll quiz them about the episode that hasn't come out yet. Like, hey, would you remember what you said when I asked you this? And we'll see how close they can get to their original answers.
Hey, pitch it. See what they say.
It also might not hurt to re-listen to that. Who knows how... I don't know.
I bet it
rips. We're definitely talking about how, like, the world was beginning to get back to normal.
Yeah, there might be some outdated pieces of info on there.
Matt was still arguing the results of the election, if I recall.
Hey, I'm still fighting that fight.
Disputed, he kept calling it.
It's a never-ending one.
No, we're still counting.
Well, here we are.
Remember, with hanging chads. Remember those?
Oh
I do recall the hanging Chad. Apparently, sure a little bit of paper that the elderly folks of Florida could not quite punch out derailed American history, or so they said.
Ten. No.
No. At least give us that Maca quote. That's the best. Whenever you accidentally press that one.
No.
Sorry. Well, here we are with a right-on-time countdown. I think that we're doing it,
killing it already,
on January 4th, which is an appropriate time to do a year-end wrap-up. I think the people that put them out the first week of December are too soon. That's too early.
Yeah, because one of my top five just came out. What, so that is a valid point.
Well, and like, I do legit think that there is not enough time. I didn't have enough time for this one, let's be honest. And then
had all year.
I feel like people start talking about like album of the year like in March, and then when December comes around, you forget all the stuff that came up before. It's too much. You need a full, similar to my favorite combat sports podcast, Morning Combat. They just did their annual awards after they waited till January specifically, because they're like, look, we need to have a full look back and make sure we don't miss anything.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
We're the best.
We're the Morning Combat of music pods.
Damn.
Well, what do y'all want to do?
Shout out to BC, the king of Connecticut.
You want to talk about anything before we get into it, or y'all just want to dive right in, baby?
I haven't done a podcast episode in 8 months. I have no idea how to do it anymore.
Yeah,
I didn't know how to do it to start with.
There's
got to be something. Didn't know how to do it, and I still don't know how to do it even more. Forgot how I didn't know how to do it.
I was just going to say that we always catch up a little bit, and I feel like there's got to be.
Hey, Matt, how's Satellite Country treating you?
Stuff to catch up on now more than ever, because we haven't gotten together in so long. It's all right. It's
found a
snowing.
Shoe store yet?
What's up?
It's snowing right now.
Not right now, but it snowed most of the afternoon.
Goddamn.
Until about 3 or 4 o'clock.
I guess they still haven't made a shoe store up there for you, huh?
He's referring to the discoloration of my once white Chuck Taylors.
That is past discoloration. I got to side with Nooch on this one. Those were wild to see.
Listen, if your shoes could be diagnosed with something, then they're too dirty. That's all I'm saying.
I don't have them laying here, or else I would hold it up. But yeah, it wore my boots out today. Not those. Got a couple of holes in those. But it froze overnight, and got kind of gnarly to drive in last night. But started melting away a little bit, but then it was below freezing most of the day. So it's still a little bit dangerous to cruise around.
We are rusty.
A little bit of
rain. You said it's snowing. Did you build a snowman?
No snowman. There's still plenty. I could. Like, there was a decent amount of like soft snow that I would say at least 3 or 4 inches out back.
I know DC got lit up, and then we had like a mild flurry the other afternoon, but
on a not so light note, everyone has fucking Omicron here, so I don't know what it's like down there.
First time hearing about
totally different. COVID free.
I don't know. I meant social circle wise. Didn't know if you were just
I've
hearing
seen,
about people
like,
you know
people,
left and right.
I've seen some folks like one or two removed post that like they got it. Nobody that I know has gotten it yet. We had one scare that thankfully our Christmas Eve celebration with the family was saved by previous guest of the pod, the sphincter. Sphincter came in the clutch when he had a child with a, not mine, but my sister's son. Shout out to my boy Henry Enoch King, my nephew. He had a mild, he like kind of felt hot, and trying to be extra safe since it was like symptomatic, we felt like the rapid test might work. So they, luckily, my sister was able to borrow, I guess not borrow, take one from the Schwinkers, or excuse me, the sphincters, and allow us to all get together for Christmas Eve dinner. And then like his normal test came back negative as well, but allowed us to not miss out on the whole celebration.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, I've somehow avoided COVID as well. I feel like I'm the only person that doesn't have COVID. But
I still haven't had it, and I'm wondering if like...
I was thinking about... I was telling
the
Liz,
same thing. I think Nathan and I were thinking the same thing. Say on the same time. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. It's all a hoax. Oh. Okay, hang on.
I was
going to
say, I was going to say, I feel like I need to go take like an antibody test at this point, because I've been going to like shows. Not that I haven't been what I would consider extremely safe in wearing a mask and all the shit you're supposed to do. But at the same time, at this point, other people who are also being safe have gotten COVID to the point where I'm like, huh, interesting. Maybe I've had this and don't realize it.
Well, especially this wave, it seems to be like getting passed around like a common cold. Like,
I feel you. But I also think one thing, if it makes you feel better, Nathan, when ages ago Harper did get it at Christmas, the Christmas before this one, the person who was COVID positive was in the house with all of us, and only one person in that house got it, which was Harper. Everybody else didn't get it.
Yeah,
from that meeting. So like you could like some of it still flew. Not now. Omicron seems to be a little bit different, but I'm just saying. I know that you. I have the same feeling of like, have I had it and not known it?
Well,
but I've gotten tested pretty regularly enough that I feel like it'd be. I don't.
I'm about to go on a little run of shows theoretically. we'll see. It seems like.
Matt, do you think Nathan learned the word theoretically just recently? Did you get paid per use? What? I feel like all of a sudden everything in his life is theoretical.
Well, I got to throw it out there because, like, we're planning on it. We just found out one of the shows is not going to happen. And I feel like if one more, it's just weird. Like, I guess it's going to happen, but, like, fuck. I don't know. So.
Every show I fucking wanted to go to was canceled, and the one show I was going to play.
Oh, is that Dwight show canceled, I presume?
I don't know.
You know, I haven't heard. Well, according to the...
He hasn't called me either. Yeah.
The last I looked at the website of the venue, just to like remember what date it was still on there. I don't know that they've canceled any of those shows at the National, unless it was by the artist request.
Oh, nothing's getting canceled ever again unless they have to.
Speaking of events, Nathan, I believe you were instrumental in dropping the Acorn recently.
That's true. Yeah, I helped with the that thing hitting the ground, hit hard. They were gonna be totally lost without me, and so I was happy to be there.
They thought they were supposed to raise it up.
Hang on, they kept raising it up.
No, you gotta drop that.
They brought a big nutcracker out there. They thought they were supposed to crack it.
The one thing that I added to it, they were gonna drop it from about a foot off the ground. I said, "You got the crane. Let's go ahead and raise that thing on up there. Let's make this a spectacle.
Hey, this is a spectator sport, y'all. Raise that bad boy up." So at 10, they're gonna drop it a quarter of an inch. 9, another quarter of an inch.
Like, that's right. Yeah.
It's hardly discernible.
Yeah. Is it on the ground? I can't. No, it's going. If you look real close, you can.
But yeah.
Well, good on you. That's a smart idea to make sure you raise it up real high when you drop it down.
Yeah, no big deal. That's what consultants do.
I'm assuming they played the official New Year's Eve song of Raleigh, which is Drop the Acorn by the Mark Tobies.
I didn't catch that in time, but half of the Mark Tobies were present, so...
I messaged one such Bill Fashion. I saw him post a picture of said acorn, and I was like, you know what song I'm thinking of? And he was like, hell yeah.
I had the power to make that song play, and I didn't. I fucked up completely.
I've got the girls thinking that that is an actual like Raleigh tradition to listen to. I sing it at the house, like drop the acorn, drop. I'll sing it, and they're like, "Is that a song?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's a song. You haven't heard it?" And they're like, "No." I'm like, "Oh, I mean, you'll hear it. It'll be on the radio. I mean, just go to Target. You'll hear it soon."
Or WRAL.
I mean, like it's just a tune. Well, Matt, what'd you do for New Year's Eve?
Not a whole hell of a lot. This place called Fuzzy Cactus, who you were going to play at one point, Nathan.
Yep.
Had like a little ticketed event. You paid the cover and they had like snacks and shit. But it was like not full. It felt really odd because everyone was kind of sketched out about Omicron stuff. So it felt, and they had like a couple of DJs and stuff. It felt like you were at a weird prom. Everyone just kind of sat with their friends and a couple people were dancing over here. And also, like, a DJ on stage is always a little bit of a weird vibe. I don't know. I hung out with a couple of coworkers, and right after midnight, I went home.
Now, one thing
I will really go all out.
You say a weird prom. One thing that did happen around our household is that Leona went prom. to went to her first school dance. She's too young to go to prom, but she went to her charity ball, is what they call it. And I saw some pictures that Leona showed me. They have fixed these school dances. They don't play any slow songs. Everybody's like, it looks like a Tyler, the Creator concert. Everybody's just up and jumping, like going nuts. The DJ does not let up. There's no slow dance moment. And these kids just have fun jumping around.
So you say they fixed them. You wish they had always been like that.
Yeah, I think I might have enjoyed that better than some of the other stuff when I was a kid.
I like at least one slow dance.
I mean,
I'm actually not opposite of Nathan on this. I feel him, but I think you do definitely need, like, somebody's got to play Time After Time or something sort of like.
You got to have a flow.
That's what I was like. I was like, at what hour did they play Boys to Men? And she was like, I think you're very old.
correct. And when do they play Boys to Men for the olds?
The chaperones.
Like, this happened with, we discussed, I think it was our 10-year high school anniversary reunion, whatever it is. We didn't go to it because it was like at a bar and people were like hanging out. I was like, no.
Hell yeah.
It needs to be like it is on TV shows where it's in the gymnasium.
Yeah.
There's balloons and shit and there's punch. It needs to be like a TV show or I'm not going. And I think ours, this will be 20.
You just want to sneak over and spike it.
This year?
This year will be 20. For those of us that graduated, so Nathan, I guess maybe not as important to you, but for but it'll be 20. And I'm like, if they don't do it in the gymnasium with, like I said, all that goofball shit from TV shows, then I'm not interested.
And you're holding, go to you're holding to that regardless of COVID safety and everything?
Well, see, that that does ruin things. That's the only thing COVID's thing messed up. If you ask me, it's my as Nathan would call it, my theoretical high school reunion. That's the only thing COVID has messed up for me personally. But I do like the idea of like what you see on TV. I want to go to one of those. Actually, I'd like to go to somebody else's 20-year. That'd be fun.
I would love to be someone's date to their high school reunion. That way, you don't have to deal with the shit that you're dreading about yours, and
Matt,
you get to experience.
I got to take Rachel. I'm sorry.
What's that?
I appreciate the interest, but I'm taking Rachel if I'm going.
She probably don't want to go to
what?
That.
I feel like it's just going to rip. Like, first
but
off,
I'm saying if
I
they're like, hey,
much
we're all meeting
to all
at
the
a bar.
Same people from fucking high school.
I know, it's going to be.
I guess, 15-year one for mine, or maybe it was 10 at this point, there were a couple of people that were kind of stirring up an idea to get together for ours via Facebook, and they had started a Facebook group and were tracking down people and like, hey, if you're friends with anyone on here that I haven't thought of, send them this. And I was down to go. It was going to be at some restaurant, like in some guy that was in my class, I guess, owns a restaurant in Raleigh and said, hey, we can meet wherever. And if y'all want to have like an after party thing at the place I own, you're welcome to.
At his location?
Yeah, I wish. And it never panned out. I think they got bummed that only a handful of people showed any interest. And some people had different ideas as to what more squares, I guess you would say, had a different idea of what they wanted to do with it. And it never, no one could ever agree on anything. And it just kind of fizzled out and never happened.
I do remember this something similar popping up on ours for at the 10-year. And I remember thinking that the people that were active in these Facebook groups were maybe not the ones that I was the most excited about seeing again.
I want to see the people I don't even recall at all. I don't remember hardly anybody except like the people that I'm still see like almost every day.
I never even had a yearbook. I didn't keep a single year. I don't have any way to remember except for the people that I maybe have been like Facebook friends with since college.
This is crazy because like somebody will mention a name and I'm like, never heard of him. Nathan's like, what? You don't know? And you'll rattle off all these facts about him. I'm like, how the hell did you know all this stuff? You have a better memory.
Yeah,
for
I got
anybody.
A way better memory than you. That doesn't mean I remember everybody.
Whatever, dude. Are we going or not? Go Bulldogs, dude.
You got all that?
Do you think the dudes will be there?
They're a year above us, unfortunately.
Doug, come on. You cannot. You can't just put those dudes on blast.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I didn't say a name.
Well, look, look, I'm a detective.
I did some tasteful bleeping.
That's going to make it worse. That's going to make it so much worse if you bleep something.
I think you're overthinking this a little bit. I don't think there's any way that would
happen. Hey, I'm a detective.
Back.
That's how I think, baby.
Detective.
All right. All right, y'all remember this goddamn countdown?
Doesn't remember a single thing that came out this year.
But I notice everything as it's happening in real life. I remember lots of shit.
One last thing. it's a pretty common thing here to test out a new beverage on air, and this first episode is no different. Real quick, though.
What season are we in, episode-wise?
2. Damn it. We're just punching the rust off, boys.
Just sliding the rust on off.
Shaking that shit off. I don't care.
It's 5 o'clock. Hey, Newt, how's it going with that Miller Lite?
It's fine and dandy. I mean, it's 5 o'clock everywhere.
Oh yeah, that is what you always say.
Sure does.
Hey, there's that song you love.
Hell yeah. And the beverage is Vista Bay Hard Seltzer, which is brought to you by Aldi. It's their brand of seltzer.
Mm. I've had that. I've actually had that in that case. Yeah.
I got to say that name is extremely basic. I don't love that.
I mean,
it looks like what it would be on like a, you know, some sort of an episode of Law & Order if they had like a fake one. Like, oh no, he's a social media at Vista Bay. And they
maybe
go
you
the
lose
office.
Something in the translation.
It's mango
yeah, German,
coconut.
It's great. It's a great name. Mango coconut, you said?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's actually a very odd combination.
Not odd. Both tropical.
Pretty good. The coconut flavored stuff is pretty polarizing. Like LaCroix.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times it tastes like sunscreen, but I'm into it.
I don't love the coconut like LaCroix. I am not a broad, across-the-board coconut hater, though.
Pretty big fan here. These are all so similar in some ways. I'd get it again probably if I found myself in an Aldi.
Y'all fuck with this flavor?
Do. How do you say that word?
Acai?
A K-I?
No.
I'm sure I've had that. I don't remember it. Do you fuck with it?
I thought
it was
like
just in your
flavor.
Variety pack.
Yeah, it was just in the variety pack, but I do enjoy it.
Do you ever buy just specific flavors, or do you just always get the pack?
Fuck no.
I guarantee you that none of us could identify isolated acai flavored anything.
Well, I meant any truly.
I'm just saying they put that shit in all sorts of stuff, and I guarantee we don't know what it is that is supposedly to be attributed to the acai.
It's a superfood or something.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that means either. I see that shit too.
All right, boys, it's time to get on
I'm
with the
anti,
goddamn
I'm
countdown.
Anti
top 10 superfoods of 2021.
Now, on with the countdown.
So these were user submitted. Superfood. We should be clear here. We
That's
posted
true.
A thing, and some of you responded. Not as many as last year.
Still,
I guess we were a little more
alive.
Active.
Yeah.
We were a little more present in the blogosphere.
We had
last
put out
year.
An episode in the prior 6 months.
Yeah, we had an episode that told people to go check it out. This year, they just
this
found
year
us
we, it's a 2021 countdown, and we haven't done an episode in most of the year of 2021.
That's
I'm
true.
Not placing
goddamn
blame.
Ghost
I'm
out
just
here.
As guilty.
So
Vulture Geest in the shed?
It might be something moving. There's also about 17, 18 stray cats, so I guess that's
damn.
The more likely culprit.
Oh, ay, ay, ay.
They're pretty sweet. Can't really hate too much, but so we had a lot of submissions. I will say, I think because of the pod not having as many episodes, I have a theory that this year's list was a little bit more spread out. Like there were a lot of albums all over the place where I feel like last year, because we had people on talking about albums, because we were talking about albums, there were some of the ones that we talked about more last year. We're more well represented on the list at the end of the year. Where this year, it's pretty crazy. I mean,
I see what you mean.
There's like the difference between number one and number like 30 is like not as great as it was last year by like a long shot. Like there's a wide range of albums that with like just one or two more people could have jumped up one way or the other.
And I also wonder, did we advertise in store for the last year's one?
No, yeah, that's another thing. I made a little
sign
for the store.
So I wonder if there's more people who like don't listen to the pod, or they think we're idiots and they don't care for our opinions, and therefore there's a more wide ranging.
We used to do that though, even before the pod, we would just do it out of curiosity.
Yeah,
we would have a little like sheet on the counter.
So that's probably a good point. So we got people that also just have never listened to the pod, And between those two things, it led to a more diverse list, I would say. These top 10, I don't think are so crazy, but like overall, and we'll post the list somewhere, you can kind of look through it. And
the top ones like make sense to me, but those initial 30 that you sent out, that was a lot. And I mean a lot
all over
that
the place,
I had not
a little
had
bit.
Even
there's almost
heard
200.
Of
so the list is about 200 albums, 175 or so. And so, I mean, it's all over the place a little bit. I kind of dig
so
it, though.
Many.
A lot of good stuff.
Hell yeah.
That's so many albums. To,
and
we are... Go ahead.
I was going to say, we're each going to take the lead on one or two of these a piece and see how they go. And one thing is that it's not in the exact order as the last time I sent it out to y'all, because I added in everybody that submitted had honorable mentions. And some of these bands had so many listings, or so many mentions in the honorable mentions. So many mentions that were honorable that they shifted where they were in the top 10, actually. So it has shifted slightly, even though the top 10 has not changed.
Sounds fishy.
That sounds like how Matt described the last presidential election. That's how you describe this process. Is a little like tinkered with and, you know, some sort of like...
I was tempted.
Perhaps.
I was tempted to...
I just got two words for you. Hanging chads.
I was truly tempted. But I will say this is actually exactly what everybody sent in. And the one, if anything could have happened, it is that if we'd have gone one more wide, we'd have been covering Kanye West as well. And I was like, I just don't feel like talking about Kanye this week. So let's just keep it at 10.
We did a book club on him a couple months ago. I'm done talking about that gentleman.
So anyway...
Now, on with the countdown.
At number 10, Enoch, you want to take it away?
Yeah, we don't have the order here.
Cactus Lee.
Oh, shout out. Shout out to our official Texas music correspondent, our official chili recipe correspondent.
Oh, I think I'm going to make. I think I'm going to actually make that chili this year.
Kevin Sheehan. Okay, so number 10, Cactus Lee, Texas Music Forever. Nathan, I have one minor thing. That is the acoustic version that I think is on that compilation, but that is not the album version of that song.
Ah, whoops.
Because that album is like doesn't exist on the internet.
That's the one that I ripped off of YouTube, so.
Yeah, so that song, that's from that Perpetual Doom cassette compilation, which was like the first version of that song he did.
That's right. I should have known that because I listened to this album this morning.
It's a ripper.
It's all on their Bandcamp. If you want to.
But that's Cactus Lee. If the Rona don't do it, the fast living will. That's the Perpetual Doom version. Because
shout out,
you know,
to Perpetual
buy it
Doom.
Buy it on vinyl, like we all did.
We're doomers. Yeah, buy the record on vinyl. We'll have it back in stock soon, which is another way of me saying we sold out of it, baby.
Hell yeah.
Twice. Us and Antones. Only places in America that has it, right?
Only places in America. Not so much so, in fact, Matt Phone, you don't realize this, but Nice Prize got an email the other day. All the way from Japan. Probably took forever for that email to get to our inbox. But some random dude over there in Japan, I guess he found on our website that we have the Cactus Lee Tarantula record, and he wants us to mail him 3 copies.
Huh.
And I'm like, this is amazing. We get to be this middle person of a intercontinental spreading of the message of Cactus Lee.
It's pretty wild. And
I'm excited for it. Love this band. Love this group. It's been the biggest discovery of the pod for me, probably pod life history, of like a band I didn't know a ton about.
He's got a live record out this year as well that I think I've maybe even listened to more, if I'm being honest. I love it.
If we're talking sheer spins, it might be... No, it's still the
big
Texas
crowd.
Because I got that tape from... I'll pronounce it correctly. Matt messes it up. The Hippie Scum tape. I got that in the mail, and I listened to that in the store a lot.
Took me a second.
Matt carries the S on that first one. But anyway, we played that tape a lot at the store, so I've heard that. Okay. edit that out. Bleep that out. This is a family show.
It's the name.
We I listened to that a shit ton. Love this record. Great record. It's Texas music. It's in the title. They say it right there. A lot of people lie about their music in the titles. Sometimes they do it as a joke. Sometimes they don't know any better. But this is, in fact, Texas music forever. I was concerned it might be their last thing. There was a moment when it was like he posted some sort of cryptic, like, final LP, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, no. But I don't want to.
Maybe it was a commentary on the pressing delays.
I think it was just commentary on life in general. But since they're on to bigger and badder and better, and I don't want to tell tales out of school, but there's one, perhaps two, and if you look at the DMs, I quote Double Dog Dared him to just make a double LP. We'll see if it happens. The Double Dog Dare LP. Love this record, and I'm stoked that it got voted for by other people. That makes me feel good.
I'd like to also use this time to say RIP to the Dry Creek Cafe and Boat Ramp.
Oh, my God. A place I wanted to go, I thought I had ages. I said, hey, it made it 70 years. Surely it'll make it past this, and then we'll be able to go. But the world had other plans, and it's gone. I'll never get to go to the Dry Creek Cafe. If you want to talk about the Dry Creek Blues, that's the Dry Creek Blues. Never getting to go? Damn.
Seemed like a hell of a place.
Sounded like paradise.
Now, Enoch, was this one in your top five?
Well, yes. I've decided to go with a different method. I'm not a sheeple like some folks, so I've got a different method for my my personal year-end situation. But it absolutely was in my top five, yes.
He did A through E.
Were I to do a traditional top five, it was in there, yeah. Maybe as high as two.
Hell yeah.
Dose, as they would say in Tejas.
Y'all ready? You want to keep moving?
There you have it. Let's do it.
Go listen to it.
Now, on with the countdown. 9.
All right. At 9. Enoch, another one for you. I'll just go ahead and say it, the name of the album and the person, and then play the sample, and then you start talking. How about that?
Sounds good. Good thing we said all that out loud.
Sounds like a good way to do it.
And I'll edit it. Beep.
Some people might even just do that.
Well, I thought maybe you would be like better at it, but it didn't work out.
Hang on.
Number 9.
There's no way you should have thought I was going to be good at that. That's absolutely unfair to me. I never said I was good at that. Baba Booey. I'm so bad at that kind of shit. It's messed up to even suggest that. You can't get mad at me for being sad at bad at something I said I was bad at.
Now, on with the countdown.
Jesus.
9.
Okay, thank God. At number 9, we have John R. Miller with Depreciated.
Whoa. I know nothing about this.
Fights of temporal effects.
This is Curtly's song of the year.
Pose in the vein. Loosen the coil. And if I could find a use for things I cannot help but do, I might want
to make a song.
There was John R. Miller, Depreciated.
Song of the year for some, I heard.
Well, it was, yeah. And
that was Shenandoah Shakedown.
Indeed. I found that interesting because I don't think this is the quote unquote hit from the record as far as my brief research on like order of songs released as a single and what's got the most views and all that kind of stuff. So I did find that interesting that this is his jam. The record in general, I think the guy, he's from somewhere in Appalachia. I want to say West Virginia. But he writes good and not in a bad way, but simple songs. Very straightforward. We follow him in country. It isn't technically country. It's probably folky. Closer. It's more folky than country, but it's sort of the way I'm not comparing him to John Prine, but in the sense that as far as a genre tag is concerned, it's more of a sensibility than
genre.
A like, sonic genre. Thank you for the correction, Matt. One thing I do think is interesting about the record and the songs in general is it does have a sort of general theme. There's a lot of car analogies, both about like life on the road and also car as people, car as relationship, car as life, and inverting those two.
This guy
and
fucking the cars? Album,
Yes, please. Yeah.
Cars are sexy. Cars are my wife.
I fuck cars.
No. Yo. All right, the album title is Depreciated, and there is the idea that both with those things and relationships, job, whatever it is, the loss of value as soon as it leaves the lot. There's a line specific to that in the record, but I do think that's a actually interesting, I guess, mechanism, if you will, and is a nice unifying theme throughout the record. And I can see why people love this record as a record because of that. Like it, these. You can say, oh, every song is about, you know, life on the road or, you know, broken relationships. But the way they're put together is pretty well done and I think interesting. One thing I noticed doing some research, though, that I'm interested about is that, one, lots of people compare him to Tyler Childers, I think because they maybe have played shows together.
So somebody was telling me that was guessing that maybe it was even you, so maybe this is, like, not great information because you don't seem sure about it, but saying that he maybe had something to do with the recording of the record as well?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that. I could be wrong.
I should have just looked that up ahead of time, I guess.
But when looking at his, and this is similar to Childers, why I brought it up, is that looking at his YouTube and like just his general footprint, he's one of those artists where he has way more views and discussion on either his like live session, like actual live concert stuff, or when he does like a... acoustic session or a live session of his album songs, those versions always have like twice to three times as many views or plays as the studio version, which is Tyler Childers has a similar situation where like his live record is his most popular record by far. And right. I'm always fascinated by that.
One thing about being at Nice Price more recently is just the shocking amount of Tyler Childers records that move out the door. People love that guy.
I told you he was Willie Nelson. I told everyone he's Willie Nelson. Like, he's going to be a huge artist for the next 25, 30 years. Well, I guess not Willie, who's been a huge artist for 80 years. I'm not saying in stature. I'm saying he's going to be the preeminent.
You heard it here. Enoch likes Tyler Childers better than Willie Nelson.
One thing I want to mention, maybe we'll take a break.
For people who don't love country.
Maybe we'll take a break after we get to the top 10 and then we get into some of our stuff and talk about it. But I do want to mention two things that happened to me over the time. One of them, this will be a little teaser, one of them, the Willie Nelson show. Ooh. I saw, and then the second one, the Bob Dylan show that me and Matt went to.
Hell yeah.
With Dinwiddie. I did pull up the liner notes here, and I don't see Tyler Childers anywhere on it. So if he was involved, I think that maybe it was just playing shows, or he's at least not on the Discogs page.
Yeah, I think they played, and Childers is from Kentucky. I think he's from West Virginia. I'm sure they... you know, played around. And they have a similar, like, Appalachian style. That's also maybe similar to Cactus Lee being Texas Music Forever. Maybe that's the better genre tag, is that it's Appalachian music as opposed to specifically country or folk, etc. But I am always fascinated when there's artists who, like, their biggest song is a, like, Tiny Desk YouTube.
Yeah.
That like, sort of modern thing I'm really fascinated by. And this guy's in a similar situation where there's like a barbershop session he did that has like five times as many views as his like lead single.
There's a group of people in this kooky world that kind of only that like that's how they find music is NPR Tiny Desk concerts. And so if someone has a thing on there, they're like, oh my God, like this is a crazy, like that band that I don't really like that much, Idols. I see that posted like so often.
Question.
Sure.
And I'm being honest here.
Yes.
Have they considered getting a bigger desk? I just don't know.
Well, most of them don't even utilize the desk anymore. It used to be like, it used to be
it's
a very
too
specific.
Small.
It used to be a very, like, kind of specific idea for this little online segment of NPR. Now it's like, let's get Lizzo standing in front of it or whatever.
We were listening
hey,
to
hey,
one
NPR,
the other day.
Hey, NPR, stop being cheapskates. Buy a bigger desk.
I saw one that was like, we were watching some really old ones of Friend of the Pod, Abe, when he was playing drums with a certain band, and they were on there. And maybe our future Seattle correspondent, I don't know. And
would love that.
Man, the like night and day of like when it was like 2011, and they were just playing around this little desk with like maybe a microphone. I mean, it sounded like they were recording with their computer versus now where it's like a whole fucking thing. You're right. It was like totally different.
Fucking Dark Meat was on there one time. Imagine how many people were in that thing.
That's wild. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I bet a stapler went missing that day.
Hey. Shout out to Ben. I'm wearing one of his printed shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to Benny Clack.
Remember Durango Leary? Speaking of Bob, speaking about the Bob Dylan gig.
All right. Well,
now what's the countdown.
What was that fellow's name again?
Artie.
Now okay.
I'll never know.
John R.
I'll never know.
God damn it,
John!
You're making Casey look like a fool, Matt.
Miller.
Eight.
And the album was depreciated.
Apologies to Mr. Kasem. Didn't he like go missing or something one time? Have we talked about this?
Casey, Casey. No,
he's been here the whole time.
No.
All right. At number eight, Australia's own Emile and the Sniffers with Comfort to Me.
I think it's just the Hamill.
Really? All right.
Yeah, Australian pub rockers, as they call themselves. They do things a little different over there. And the reason Amyl, isn't Amyl a thing you like, you sniff? It's like a, not like poppers per se, but it's sort of like that in the way that you take it.
I don't know. I'm unfamiliar. I guess I'm not
any,
quite a
any druggies over here. Well, I mean, her name is Amy, and I think just for LOLs, she added the L, and they call themselves the Sniffers.
Emil.
Anyhow, it was a surprise to I really liked this band's last record a lot, and I had no idea. I knew that they put out a new record, I guess, but I hadn't really heard much of it, and I definitely didn't know that it would be on this top 10 list or anyone's top 10 list. I had no idea that
multiple people had it at number one.
That's wild.
I think it's fairly recent release as well. Correct.
What's it's that? Cool. What's up?
I think it's fairly recent as well.
Yeah, that it could be some recency bias. It did come out, I think, in September.
Gotcha. Yeah, it snuck by me, sort of. One of the songs I had heard on like a Spotify radio, and I was just kind of like, oh, they have a new album out. Cool. But I haven't really bumped it until this week. But yeah, I mean, good for them if they're getting some buzz. Looks like they are.
I'll say this album debuted at number 2 in Australia, so they're a hit over there.
I knew that they got a little bit of a buzz like right off the bat, like they put out one record and did one
probably
U.S. tour.
All that Emil got a little buzz,
and we played with them, no big deal. And yeah, they that first U.S. tour they did had buzz immediately, so I knew
who's
they had
we?
Some debt.
I can't believe they let you within 100 miles of them.
Well, I can't either after I tell you the story. They played with them. You know, it just makes us look like buffoons. We played with them on the last day of the first time we'd ever done like a little few day run. It was that same week that we did that show in Asheville together, Nathan. The last show of that was us playing with them at King's. And we had been so amped on listening to that record in the van. And we kept talking in like our stupid Australian accents. We would just say that. Brisbane.
And they got confused and thought you were from Australia.
No, we among ourselves, we would say that. We would say different things. And we were like, okay, Saturday, we got to make sure. We had been doing it so much, just goofing off. We were like, we can't do that in front of them. And we were like, okay, cool. And then we go to watch them sound check, and they get through it, and the person doing sound is like, "How's everything up there? Do you need anything up here? Need anything in the monitors?" And Amy just goes, "Yeah, need heaps more." And we were just like, we were like, "She said heaps more," like a fucking bunch of children. I don't know. It was a really fun show.
I thought you were gonna flip it, and she was gonna. It turns out they were doing like redneck accents.
Oh no!
And she was like, "Well, by golly gosh, I'd love some more of my vote." You know what I mean? I thought it was gonna be an opposite.
No,
this mic is super hot.
Damn, I don't even know what that was.
That's a beyond inside joke.
That's a young man that works at the Bojangles in Waynesville, North Carolina. He's telling me the bacon on my bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit was super hot. It's
he felt the need to warn.
It sounds like something
ingrained in my head.
He looked at Nathan and was like, this guy's about to eat this bacon biscuit right now. I better warn his ass.
I never even considered that it was a warning.
He was like, I assume he's going to do what everyone here in Waynesville does. He was so excited. Eat it right in front of me standing at the to-go counter.
Man.
Oh, you can eat it Waynesville style, huh? Directly in front of my face after I hand it to you?
That's... Well, shot to that guy,
oh,
I guess.
God. Yeah. Oh, dude. I was astonished at how, you know, that was not that long ago. Saw, like, some news about some COVID rates getting pretty bad. Don't know if it made it to the Waynesville Bojangles. Didn't see a mask in sight. Not even, like, below the nose. Not even, like, on the chin. Just straight up nothing.
Where is Waynesville? What's it near?
It's, like, 30 minutes west of Asheville.
West of Asheville. Anyway, shout out to that guy. Hope he's doing all right.
Yeah.
And
that's how bad Nathan wanted Bojangles. He went west before heading back out.
Now we have that. Shout out to Legion Aluska. That's where my grandparents are from. Still up there.
Shout out. And shout out to Amel and the Sniffers putting out what seems to be a hit record.
Are they from, where are they from for real? Brisbane?
I don't know. Let's see real quick.
I will say Gold this Coast, was the perhaps? Only song.
Oolagong, perhaps?
The only band who I had trouble doing the MP3 from YouTube converter thing because it said that they didn't allow that on their songs. And I was like, oh, this is like the one punk band. Well, maybe it's not the one punk band. We'll
Weird.
See.
Melbourne.
Stay tuned.
Melbourne.
Yep.
And Amyl Nitrate, also known as Poppers.
Oh. Now, on with the countdown.
Where the fuck are we at?
People who work
seven. In haven't made it very far, I'll tell you that.
Seven. All right. This fucking
band. You should have gotten the Beatles doing number nine. That would have been funny.
At number seven, we have Low with Hey What.
It isn't something you can choose between. It isn't coming in twos and threes. Always looking for that one.
There we go. The hit song from Lowe's most recent release, Days Like These. Recorded with Raleigh's own BJ Burton.
Shout out.
Minnesota's own. I guess at this point, maybe LA zone. But that's Low. Obviously, everybody kind of knows the story at this point. The indie rock 90s people started making crazy music, and now everybody loves them again.
I don't think everyone did know that story, Nathan.
Really? I think a lot of people do.
Yes.
This was a band that I would always see like on the in the early 2000s. I would always see like their name on like the Cat's Cradle schedule.
Yep.
They were around a lot, and they always seemed just like boring old dudes to me.
Yeah.
In my young age.
Well, it's a duo. It's a man and a woman.
Boring old people.
Double canceled.
So much canceled to cancel that for.
Baba Booey.
Yeah, it just seemed like two old carnies kind of kicking around town. Making indie rock.
Two non-gender specific carnies. And... Yeah, I never really.
Worse when Matt says it, I don't know.
I never really.
Also, Carney's already non-gender specific. I don't know why you felt God. That. It feels like when your grandpa tries to do something, but then it makes it worse.
Anyway, yeah, Low, been around forever. I never really paid much attention to them growing up, but I would always see their name.
So, I remember. I felt like they were a band that when people talked about them, no, and this is probably to their credit, but at the time I found confusing. No one ever said the same record to check out. Yeah. Everyone was like, oh, you should check. This is the one to check out. If you don't like this one, don't worry about it. But I felt like I heard that four different times. And I was like, ah, fuck, what the fuck?
Well, they have like, a lot of different vibes. And I think that's part of the reason that happened. And that's one of the reasons they were able to change into this type of stuff. Also, interestingly enough, one thing totally unrelated, sort of. Sparks, who had a bunch of mentions on this for not album of 2021, but just albums you've listened to in general. Sparks is a similar thing where, like, they had just touched on so many things and been around so long that everybody has a different favorite. And I feel like Lowe's kind of turning into that a little bit. They've been around a long time. They don't really have any stinkers, I don't think. They have ones that are, like, more one person's vibe than the other. So that makes total sense, kind of.
The Great Destroyer is the main one that comes to my head. I'm looking at the cover. I needed to see the cover. And that is definitely the one I saw a ton of press for in the mid-2000s.
If I'm being honest, I love the last two the most. I used to think that they were kind of boring, like Yola Tango-style indie rock. Not to shit on both those bands, but...
Sounds like exactly what you're trying to do there.
It was just kind of like... It never really caught my... I'm kind of with you, Matt. Like, I never really, like... It just never, like, latched on for some reason. Like, I heard it. I didn't dislike it or anything, but, like, couldn't quite connect. And these last two albums that they've done with BJ have been really good. Actually, I saw that BJ got nominated for Best Engineered Album, Non-Classical, at the 64th Annual Grammy Awards.
Yep.
Whoa, did he win?
I don't think they've happened yet.
The thing we only care about if someone we know is nominated.
Or someone we hate wins.
Also, I'm a dumbass. Why would you say he was nominated and not tell us if he won? If he had won. And you're like, yeah, no, he won. Like, you would definitely let off with that.
But no, I do like this album. I will say that one song that we just heard is not my fave on there.
So, that's what I wanted to talk about. Okay, I hadn't really listened to this record a ton, I'll be honest. You were playing it in the store. I was back here in the office. This song came on. That song, rather, came on. It sounds so crazy to me. Not bad, just... If you'd asked me what band it was, Low is, like, the 4,000th band, I would have guessed.
Here's the weird thing.
I remember that there was a song of theirs. It was, like, top five on the Pitchfork, like, out songs of the year. And I was like, is that the one? Is that the one they picked as their... So that would make it the best Low song of all time, essentially? And it sounds like not what I thought that band sounded like.
So, I mean, the whole album is pretty, I would say, like, a little darker and, like... weirder than that song. I mean, here's the thing, when you just hear that clip, that song sounds fairly weird, but when you listen to it within the album, by the time that hits, you're like, what is this Disney crazy shit? Like, it sounds like something that we'd be playing at the end of Don't Look Up or something like that. Like, it's like, it feels like a totally different vibe by the time that you get there on the record, which is maybe a credit
to me.
It
sounds like Bon Iver. It sounds like the most recent Bon Iver record.
It's
which
kind of who I guess BJ does work
with.
Did
BJ work on that one too?
Yeah. So maybe that's the reason why, but I don't know. It's not my fave on the record. I will say it has grown on me. It's still, it has grown on me. On the album, it still seems weird every time it comes on, if that makes sense.
Okay.
It does make sense.
But yeah, I'd recommend this one. This is the first one besides Cactus Lee that I've listened to a bunch on this list, and I enjoy it.
Now, on with the countdown.
Right. Wait, did it make your list? No?
It did not. I don't think any of the top 10
Power
made
the People.
I got one. I got one that we have later on that was on my list. But no, that's one of the things I was saying where last year a couple of all of ours lined up with this, but this year none of these, although they are albums I enjoy mostly, none of them really lined up with mine exactly.
All right.
Six.
At number six. At number six, we've got... Tyler, the Creator, Odd Future, Wolfgang, Gang, Kill 'Em All, Golf Wing, all that shit. He's Tyler, the Creator, not Tyler, the Rapper. I don't know if that was like a shot at Chance or what. I don't know what's going on. But he's got it with his most recent.
Chance was like 11 when he had that name.
Call Me If You Get Lost.
We don't do backpacks. I thought that was kind of tight.
Why does this keep starting over?
Oh, you look malnourished. Let's get some bread, fry the egg, yolk, you're drowning in syrup. You pick a spot, I pick a tail number, and we could be tourists. Let's go to Cannes and watch a couple indie movies that you never heard.
So Tyler's back. It's amazing that he's one of the most famous people in hip-hop at this point. Kind of astonishing.
An enormously popular figure.
Which
one of the best-selling artists in Nice Price history.
It's crazy. Yeah, people love him. I mean, he makes... It's cool that the type of hip-hop that he makes is as popular as it is. Because it is, I would say, on the weirder side of things.
Agreed.
Even though he's got a lot of, like, straight-up songs. Like the Lil Wayne song he's got on here. Lil Wayne, excuse me. He's got...
Hey, the kids are weird nowadays, boy.
Is a pretty straightforward, like, 90s hip-hop song, in my opinion. A lot of this is, like, kind of like 90s hip-hop.
I like
that. So this brings up a question.
About this album.
A discussion, I guess, that people have had about hip-hop and rap in general. In that it's the one genre in which a cover is considered, like, unacceptable.
That's not true.
Okay. Tell me a time when someone has covered a song in rap then, Nathan.
Snoop Doggy Dogg with Lottie Dottie on his hit debut album, The Doghouse, with the Dog Pound, Doggy Style. He did Lottie Dottie. He did, like, almost a straight-up word-for-word cover of Slick Rick. It fucking rips. Everybody loved it.
That's a great recall. Can you name me, like, another instance when that's happened?
Okay, so Jay-Z on the... first song of Blueprint 2 rapped the whole first verse.
Not where someone's doing an homage to a specific verse. My point being that people put out covers albums in country music every fucking day of the year, and you can think of maybe two instances of songs in the entire
history
of hip-hop.
I thought of them faster than you thought I'd be able to.
I'll give you that.
That was a much better recall than I expected. That's not true. And I was like, how long has he been waiting for me to say this?
I've been waiting for someone to bring this up.
Finally! He's 6 English, you're not going to believe it. He finally said it.
Brings down a board, laser pointer.
Yarn. to photo of...
That's what he actually built the shed for.
Just dropped this
very presentation.
You walked right into my trap, fingers steepled. Anyway, my point being that the cover song, with few exceptions, does not exist in hip-hop. Now... homages are one thing, and features are another thing, and then samples, taking, you know, someone's verse, turning into a chorus, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's part of the whole thing.
That's always been a thing. But this is, like, an album where people will frequently say, like, oh, yeah, that was my Stones record, or that was my, like, Psych record. That's the one where I did, like, full bubblegum pop. They'll, like, set out to make a record with a very specific, not maybe homage or callback to another genre. This is what that is. Where he's like, oh, I'm going to do my 90s, depending on who you talk to, if it's that the argument, the long-standing argument between 3-6 Mafia and Bone Thugs about who started that specific cadence first. But that, an homage to these specific genres and songs, not the entire album is to one, but like each song has sort of got its own referencing something prior. And I'm curious to see when are people just going to, like... That is, I think, a good thing of this idea. People have to, like, instead of arguing about who created something first, you can just openly say, yeah, this is me doing a Bone Thugs song, but with my words.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. I think that it works. I'm glad that hip-hop isn't overly concerned with that. I mean, I think the same thing happened with, like, folk music in the 60s. I mean, there's a lot of fucking punk has gone through that. Metal's gone through that. Like, it just fucking happens.
For sure.
And
it started out where it's a no-go for every early genre, and then they eventually get over it. I feel like it took hip-hop maybe longer. Or maybe the public's taste for it took a while to catch up to it.
Well, here's one thing about this album. I forgot about DJ Drama. And man, does he have some good mixtapes still. That Jeezy Drama tape. Woo!
Listen.
We're veering
there's
off
a drama it. Tape. There's a Lil Wayne DJ Drama tape. That song Sports Center, where the whole beat is made up of like balls bouncing, like sneaker squeaking. I can recount word for word, note for note, the intro where Lil Wayne just tells you what his favorite TV shows are and what his favorite teams are in every sport. His favorite show is Sports Center, ESPN, ESPN News, and he just rattles off all the Man, all he does is sports. All he does is watch sports. It's amazing.
I'll say this: when I looked at this album and I saw that DJ Drama was on the first track, I was like, God, this is going to be hard for me not to enjoy. I've enjoyed Tyler in the past. Love DJ Drama. This seems like a really winning combination to me.
Yeah, I like how, to y'all's point, it is more rap-based because the last one was not so much.
I like that one, too. Honestly, maybe I even like that one better. But I think that it's nice that he's just not doing the same thing every single time.
I like him better as a rapper. Even though he says not Tyler the Rapper. Some of those Igor songs didn't really...
Shots at Chance.
They were cool. They were like, kind of cool party jams to have on, but I didn't really love that album. But some of the songs on this, I think, rip pretty hard.
Now, on with the countdown. 6.
All right. Wait.
Nope.
Damn it. I'm looking at the original list.
5.
Woo. I guess this one bumped up one with those honorable mentions. People fucking love this record. At number 6.
Nope.
Shit. These truly is getting to me, boy.
Oh, boy.
At number 5, we have Billy Strings with Renewal.
Down by the river, the water's cold. Used to have a girl, but that's all right.
Well, there you have it.
Not the most indicative of the record song clip, I would say, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, I included that one because there was one person that had that as their song of the year. So, as a shout out to our participants and the listeners and everybody that shops at Nice Price, I just wanted to, when there was a person that had a song of the year that lined up with one of the albums on the list, that is the song playing. So, wondering why some of these songs are chosen, that's why.
Well, to Enoch's point, most of the record is more kind of fast, mandolin kind of based folk music, bluegrass music.
It's fairly traditional bluegrass music, I feel
like. And it won this did not, but
Much to my surprise.
He won a Grammy for best bluegrass record, right? Like we were saying earlier.
I would be shocked if he had.
Well, I couldn't remember for a second if it was this one or not, but we had already talked about how the Grammys hadn't happened yet. So, anyway, he's pretty well known in that world, is my point. And the reason I said I would talk about this is because not so much that I've listened to that record. I don't even care for it, if I'm being honest. But a lot of people do. Good for him. The main reason I know about...
He won for Home at the 63rd Annual Grammy Awards.
Wow. What's that?
His last album, Home, won the Best Bluegrass Album at the 63rd Annual Grammy Awards.
Congrats to him. But the main reason I know who he even is at all is because of he's in the Grateful Dead universe now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I wasn't aware.
He played guitar. He plays guitar sometimes in Bill Kreutzmann's band, Billy and the Kids. And just like all the Dead members who do solo things on the side. He's in his 20s. He's pretty young.
He looks young. I thought that he was like an old man, kind of. And then I saw a picture
29.
Of him, and I thought to myself, wow, that guy looks a lot younger than I expected.
29, confirmed.
He'll do shows with Bill Kreutzmann, and then he'll do a lot of big chunks of his live sets, at least when he's doing like a... I don't know enough about him to know how much his live band varies or anything, but I know a lot of times he'll do sets of like a lot of like chunks of Dead stuff. Like pieces of Dead sets. And he's kind of like incorporated that a lot into his live show.
Also, speaking of which, similar to previously referenced Tyler Childers, an enormously popular live artist. Like, cannot be overstated, like, how popular he now is. He plays, like, when most times he plays places, he plays either huge venues or multiple nights, and like tickets sell out immediately, and then people pay like $150 to go see him.
Well, one of the last tours right before COVID was him opening for Sturgill, right? I remember a lot of people saying that was that was the last show I saw before everything shut down. It was Tyler Childers and Sturgill Simpson at like Thomas Wolfe or something.
That might be. I don't know that to be true though.
Anyway, doesn't matter.
Like, but he's playing the Greensboro Coliseum, I think he's headlining.
That's why. Oh, I mean, granted, this was right before COVID, so this was a couple, like, 2 or 3 years ago at this point.
It's a bluegrass record. I don't know what I was expecting, but it was so much more straightforward than I expected. I mean, I should have called my dad before this, because he's a fucking bluegrass head, and hear what he thought about it. because sometimes I'll hear a record that I'm like, this is pretty straightforward bluegrass, and he'll be like, oh, it's too wild for me, like, or some shit like that. But I thought that this was
I got that Tony Rice guy really took a lot of liberties.
No, hey, shout out to Tony Rice. That's definitely his
R.I.P. R.I.P.
Oh, but what I was going to say, February 20th, Sturgill Simpson with Tyler Childers at the Cherokee place, that Harris place.
Wow. That's where I'm going to go see
Matt,
Dwight.
You're really stepping in it today. The Cherokee
place. But with the whole Dead connection and stuff, and the fact that he like plays all these Dead songs now, and apparently he's a shredder on guitar, I could see him being
in the
running.
Is that where he got the name?
Well, his mother,
what,
Ralph,
what
his
if it's
dad,
that, what
Ralph
if it's
Strings,
actually his name?
Named him
that
Billy.
Yeah.
No, his
name is Apostle. William Apostle, which is kind of a sick name.
It is. But he is, in fact, like a monster shredder and has been since he was really young. Mm. And that's been the thing that, like, when he was young, when he was just playing in the bluegrass circles, he was like a, I don't want to say, I mean, I guess everybody says they're a prodigy. I feel like every bluegrass guy's like, yeah, he started playing live when he was 11. It's like, well, it's not really that. Anyway. So he has that crossover where the bluegrass heads still like this dude. The guy
that is impressive.
It is, but I'm saying that, dude, look up every like notable bluegrass musician. They all started playing live when they were 10 somehow.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's not the same as
but anyway,
like, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, LeBron dunked when he was 14. It's like, yeah, no shit. Anyway. Billy Strings still has the cred with the bluegrass dudes because he can truly shred. And when we listened to the record, Nathan, we were both talking about it. I expected it to be a little bit more of a pop sensibility, like something that made it different. If people love this record, there's 50 Ricky Skaggs records for you to listen to that you're going to like. Like,
that, yeah,
it is bluegrass music. It's in a good way, very straightforward. And I'm actually not a bluegrass head. So like you're saying, Nathan, your dad, I'm sure he's like, whoa, that's crazy talk. It goes all over the place. And I'm sure it does at some songs. But for the most part, this isn't that out there. But it's similar to the way Sturgill, where the more country he makes a record, the weirder that somehow becomes.
That's what I was thinking, is that like Sturgill makes records that aren't straightforward country, even though they are. And like people kind of expect that with like, I was expecting something like that with like bluegrass, basically.
Yeah. So, but also people like him, people like the person, Billy Strings, a lot.
He seems cool, I guess.
I read a story and I've read some stuff about him. He seems like a really he just seems like a cool dude who's like a normal guy who happened to have hit this like kind of bizarre spark of fame, and people seem to really appreciate and like him. So he just attracts fans because of that. And they like the tunes, obviously. But it's easy to stay in if you like the guy and like to like follow him to different places if you really like the guy. And he can't shred. He also blew up on YouTube when a song of his called Dust in the Baggie. There's a recording of it
disgusting-looking
basement. It's like a disgusting carpeted like man cave with like a really gross couch. But he's sitting on it in the middle of a party. There's some doofus like over in the corner with some like strappy sandals on, and like who's like yucking it up next to him while he shreds this song. And that video has like a billion views on it. It's something insane. And he looks like a kid, and he's playing this crazy song, and he's shredding the shit out of it. But like in the basement, like a kegger. It's very bizarre. But that video was the first time I heard of him a few years ago, and it's just gone like through the roof. One little bit of tid that might be interesting to the listeners: the new Billy Strings record, when it came out, it had like a clear vinyl variant that you could only get at independent record stores. Which, thank you to Billy Strings, we always very, very, very much appreciate that when artists do that. But that's the record, sadly, we got allocated the most of in like the store's history. I think we ordered more than we order of anything, basically. I think we ordered 35, which is like for us absolutely fucking insane. Also, the record was like $35 or $30 brand new. Like
that's like you'd only order more of like a Sylvanessa record or something.
Yeah, if that. Like to give you an idea of how big this artist is, we're like, oh, and like this is a cool record. We want to have it. Like people like this. We like it. This will be great. Like it's one thing when you're like trying to guess if like people you don't even know want it. Like we know people love this record, and this is a thing we want to have around. So we ordered, I think, 35, which for us is insane, and we got 3 copies. Because it was so popular, every record store ordered so many that everybody, I mean, I'm sure some of the bigger stores, obviously we're a small store, some of the bigger stores got more, but like we've never been like hammered so badly on a release where like we got like nothing of what we ordered, basically. I ordered 35 thinking we would get 20, and they're like, yeah, we'll give you 3. And we're probably lucky to get that. So to give you an idea of how excited people were for the release, how excited they were for, like, to go to an independent record store and buy the record, that every single copy that was pressed was sold before they pressed it.
And I remember what I was going to say about the Dead thing. I could see him, this is just my prediction, when it comes time to pick a new Dead & Co., John Mayer type, down the road, I could see him sliding in there.
Killing John Mayer and taking his place. Whoa.
After he's like made a name now, for himself.
Is that how it works? They have to kill the one before them? Highlander style?
Obviously. Look, you think Jerry went on his own?
If only Trey was dead.
I know who took out Jerry.
Bite your tongue. God damn, Matt.
I'm sure it's fine. Yeah.
I know what I'm saying.
Like
John, fucking two key lines.
John Mayer, was like a guitar phenom dude, and like when he was coming up, and then he got famous on his own, and now he just tours with the Dead. I could see Billy Strings doing a similar thing because he's already in now.
Yeah,
with Billy Kay.
I think what he should do that would be slick is never actually join, just like kind of pop in and get such a monster pop. While John Mayer has to slink off stage and he comes on and plays one and then steps off just to like sort of stick it to him every night how much more people like him. that would be a hot move.
I don't know. People like John.
People like John. Surprising. But
John is dead to us. Get what they did there.
All right.
Where does John Mayer rank for you? Are you a fan?
Where does he rank on Grateful Dead members?
Yeah. Matt's gonna be like, now are we talking his live stuff or when he does the record? Because the live stuff, that's where it's at. That's the good stuff.
Where does he rank for me, or just what do I think of him being the Jerry role?
However you want to answer it. Do you think he's better than Jerry?
As a comedian.
Better than Jerry is the question now. No,
how about this?
I do not think John Mayer.
Answer this question, and I want you to answer it honestly.
Okay.
John Mayer right now or Sweatpants Jerry, like 94?
Sweatpants
95.
Jerry.
Sweatpants Jerry, not even close.
SPJ.
Brink of death Jerry still beats John Mayer.
Just getting wheeled out.
Now here's... Okay, I say okay.
Wait, Nathan, you went past this. I'm not a deadhead. Did he eat 2 slices of key lime pie a night, or did he eat 2 key lime pies a night?
Buddy, I hate to tell you. So in the mid-80s, he went into a diabetic coma.
Pies a night.
When he died, no one was surprised. So apparently on his rider,
person who is.
Well, because every human being dies. That's why you mean that, right?
Yeah, something like that. And but when he went into a diabetic coma, apparently he was playing this show, and then each night on the rider was 2 key lime pies. And he would go into his dressing room by himself, away from the band, smoke opium, and eat 2 key lime pies.
Damn.
And apparently that does not do great things for you.
Wait, so that's bad for you then?
It didn't have great results. I don't know if they.
This was said on a podcast or something. This was not confirmed.
Now, what if it was key lime
and
acai?
This was,
do you think that helped him out?
On a podcast.
Get some of that superfood in there? Add a little acai to
that.
That
might have saved him. I don't know.
Give him some pep in his step.
But yeah, so shout out to.
Yo, look, no one in the history of the world has has eaten 2 pies a night. I mean. No one's ever like taken 2 pies down, and then like, oh man, we should do this every night.
Let's run that back.
Let's run that back. Make sure you add that to the list.
Jer Bear's got room for another entire pie.
Hey, wait, hang on. Who ordered 2 keys lime pie? This is.
Oh man, I am Googling it and getting no results.
Hang on.
Totally wrong.
Do you think the first time they gave him just 1, and because they just assumed he didn't get 2, and then they try to give the other one to someone else? Like, hey guys, where's my other key lime pie?
Where's the other one?
And they had to explain, like, hey, just a reminder, they're both for Jerry. Nightly.
I don't know if that's true. I will say don't know.
That would be crazy. That would be crazy if it happened one time. You're saying it happened every single night.
I can't fathom someone eating 2.
No, but you know what? I don't know if that is crazy. If you said, pick a person in the history of the world at any era that has...
Ralphie May.
...eaten 2...
Oh, come on.
Oh, boy.
Cancel him.
What?
That dude has done it.
I bet
he's done it at least once.
He knows his way around a pie, it looks like. That's all I'm saying. Bruce.
Yeah, shout out to Bruce Bruce. That guy's funny.
Dude, no one kills harder than Bruce Bruce. You see those Def Comedy Jams? The people are hanging from the rafters laughing so hard.
Oh, throwing their wallets on stage.
Okay. All right. Well, sure. Okay, here's... I'm going to stop us real quick.
The bit he does about his uncle who laughs his ass off but never smiles. That's my bit. That's my favorite Bruce Bruce bit.
All right, everybody. So we're going to take a quick break. That was 10 through 4, 10 through 5. And we'll be back next week with 4 through 1, plus people's favorite movies, books, TV shows, and some shit that we liked in 2021 in general. All right. Later.
What's going to play us out?
Probably. Okay, I'll think of
Bruce Bruce bit.
Play a Humble Pie song.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Humble Pie and Bruce Bruce mashup. I'm willing to do the work. All right, we'll see y'all next week.
This is what it's all about.
These guys, but you ever see somebody so big when they're eating, they be humming, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We was in a restaurant, he like, Then he gave out a breath.
Name, I'd be like, stretch marks. Hey, you all, that's my time. Thank you very much.